What's up, everyone? This is Let's Get Graphic, the podcast where we sit down, have a few drinks, and talk about everything graphic design. Each episode, we'll take a subject and we'll discuss it. What we say may be beneficial to you, whether you've been in the industry for 20 years or only a year. Some of you may even feel like we're full of shit. Either way, grab your drinks. Let's get graphic.
Graphic design is my passion.
Fuck that.
Welcome back, everybody, to the epic saga that is Matt LaMonaco. Last time, we talked a little bit about Matt's earlier career, graduating from Art Institute, his first couple of jobs, and he told us probably one of the craziest stories I've ever heard in regards to a graphic design's first job. Today, we're going to pick up right where we left off. We kind of get into when I met Matt specifically, and when the other guys came in and joined the team. Then we get into the topic of design culture, and that's when Matt really shines. By the end of this episode, I can almost guarantee you that you're going to be inspired. Thank you for returning, and let's get into it. Was your next job like the merch company, or did you have something else after that?
No, the next one was the merch company. Yeah.
Okay. So you started that one in 2012?
2010.
Yeah.
I was out of work for, I don't know, 3 months, probably 2 or 3 months after that gig.
At this point too, you have like a year into the industry, basically.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. I'd been around for about a year. So like I was still like finding my way. I wasn't really sure like what I wanted to do. I didn't even realize like merch was like a viable career path at that point.
Like it's not something they teach you, really.
It's not. It's all like it's kind of all about like advertising and publication. At least when I was in school, it's probably different now. Like you guys probably had a much different school experience than I did, because when I was going through school, that was still kind of king. Like it was on its way out a little bit, but like the internet really hadn't, it wasn't what it is now.
I've talked about it with them before. My college career was like almost the same, where it was like halfway manual, like creating logos by hand. But then you would take that and like do it in Illustrator, like very shittily, because they like didn't really teach you that much like Illustrator like skills. Like that was the one thing that I wish that they had, was like they didn't teach Photoshop all that much, and then Illustrator was like just to get the final product. It was always, and then even then you still have to print out that product, cut it out very nicely. You had to rubber cement on the back and glue it onto this big blackboard, and if you fucked that up, you were getting like docked a grade, so you had to like spend more money to do it more than once. But it was never like Dante was telling his story last time about having a USB drive to turn stuff in.
I think we did, I guess in some of the earlier classes, more of the like the basic classes, the intro classes, we did do a lot of shit by hand, like just to like test our craft, like cutting stuff out neatly and rubber cementing things and logos by hand and stuff like that. It wasn't until later that we really started to work on the computer.
Dude, I had to mount all my shit.
Yeah, when I was going through the Art Institute, we had like the print lab. You had to go in there. Like I had to like bind books. I had to like, everything had to be physical. Like that's how you turned your shit in. So it was like,
you had to pay money per print, right?
I had to pay money for everyone.
Oh, fuck that.
I fucking hated that shit.
That sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I had to pay for
the prints. We had a free printer, but it was a shitty printer.
Yeah, if you wanted like really nice printing, like cardstock, like either glossy or matte or something like that, like you had to pay money. It was like 25 cents or like something like that. But like when you fuck up multiple times, that 25 cents turns into a lot of money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When you started, did you feel like you were prepared for something like that? Or were you just kind of like, I'll learn whatever at this point? Like,
I mean, I figured it out pretty quick. Is at that time, I mean, this was 2010, so it was like the dying days of like Affliction, and Ed Hardy was hot still, and like it was a weird time. All that shit's coming back right now, though.
So Bryson's Closet.
All of that shit is like coming back right now, though. Like, it's so 100%. Bizarre.
Yeah.
So like, I remember applying to Ed Hardy because I was like, do I want to live in LA? And I like applied to Ed Hardy. It was like I was seeing someone out there at the time. So I was like, I mean, that's a thing I could do. I could go live in fucking LA.
I could do that. Yeah.
So, I don't know. It was a weird time, I guess. It was a weird time because it was an in-between time, I guess. Oh, shit. I just realized I forgot to tell you guys like one of the best things about that incredible saga story. So they ultimately did end up like legally owing me like kind of a lot of money that I saw $86 of like 8 years ago. Oh, like fuck. 8 years ago. Like $86 that I got randomly in the mail like years and years later. And it was like, this is an attempt to pay off a debt. And I was like, okay, well, you still owe me like a couple thou. Like,
yeah, it's like, cool. First installment.
Have you tried that unclaimed property website thing?
So I did get like a notification in the mail maybe a year ago that was like, hey, we have money. It was from the Workforce Commission, which has to be this. We have money. Call us. We need to verify your address. But they had sent me the mail to my address.
It's like, yeah, whatever you have on file, sure. That's it. Yeah,
the address you have.
Oh, and like the worst part about it is I tried to call. I shit you not, you guys. I've probably tried to call this number 50 times. I stopped. Like,
you just gave up.
Yeah, dude, because I would call and it would just ring and ring and ring. And then it would eventually just come to this like automated voice message, and it would be like, leave a message. And I must have left like four messages, probably like, hey, please call me back, like I'm trying to get a hold of somebody, have been forever, never got a call.
My
back.
Fucking money.
So I finally just fucking I just gave up.
Right, that's probably what they were hoping.
Yeah, enjoy my money, Texas.
The Workforce Commission's probably being run by your old boss too. That's why you're not getting that money.
He's siphoning all their cash to pay back Donnie Wahlberg.
It's actually the cartel.
2010 started the merch company. I joined in 2017 was when I first started. But there was another designer that worked along with you, so you weren't the only person.
Yeah, when I started, I worked with another guy. I still talk to him on occasion. I mean, he was there for probably maybe the first eight months to a year, and then he moved on, and it was just me for a while. And by a while, I mean a few years, and that was like where I really like figured shit out. Because I had to, like, I just kind of had to figure it out, so I did. And that's a lot of this industry, frankly, like it's just kind of getting thrown in the fire and trying to figure out like what you need to do to make it happen.
Yeah, that's kind of how I felt. That's kind of how I felt because I graduated wanting to do, and I've told this before, that I wanted to do like environmental like design. So like signage, like stuff like that. And then I went on an interview at a print place in, I can't remember where in Dallas it was. It was off like Preston. I think it was over in Plano. It was a fucking long ass drive. But I went in and it was like a very small place that had like one dude, which was like the owner, who interviewed me. I was like an hour and a half late because of traffic. And I kept like calling him and I'm like, I'm so sorry. Like I didn't know that it was gonna be fucking traffic. I'm so sorry. And I showed, and he's like, it's okay. And I show up and he's like, ask me all these questions of like, do I understand bleeds? Do I understand registration? Do I can I run a printer? Can I do this? Can I do that? I was like, no, I don't know how to do any of that shit. Cause I didn't learn how. Yeah. He's like, well, you can just learn how to do it. He was going to pay me like $16 an hour. Like,
yeah,
to basically run an entire shop, I was like, no, like, I'm not doing this for $16 an hour.
That's like, that's classic.
When I need like a full-time job.
That's classic creative industry bullshit right there. Hire one person to do like four different jobs.
Yeah. And I was like, I'm not that into doing business cards, dude. Like, I'm sorry. I just really need, like, I've been out of college at this point for like 9 months. It's only been a year. I haven't had my first like design job yet. So I was already having like imposter syndrome out the asshole that I'm like, I'll take anything, but not this. And then I had the interview at the merch company that the very next day, did the interview, all that bullshit. I went back to Lubbock and then I came back like, I think like a week later to start. And then, you know, yada, 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 we go through the whole business of building a team of like 9 designers. What was it truly like to be like a creative director, like over a team of like, I guess that size?
That's a hard question. I enjoy it. I don't know. I like mentoring younger creatives, I guess. There are a lot of, entities and people out there in the creative industry that kind of, I think there's a lot of dicks out there, especially in this industry, a lot of egos, I guess. I just enjoy being able to mentor younger creatives and show them like, hey, you don't have to be this full of shit to be successful. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like I'm pretty grounded for the most part. I'm definitely not somebody that like lives to work. I do this for fucking money. Like, let's just get that out there right now. Like, I'm not saying that if I wasn't getting paid to do artwork art and creative work for a living, I'm not saying I would never do that, because I totally would. I don't know what form that would be. Maybe it'd be music. Maybe I would have stuck with music. You know, I have a musical background or whatever, but maybe I would have just like dove a little harder into like drawing, you know, illustration. I'm not sure, but. I do what I do now because it pays me. That's not to say I don't enjoy it. Everything sucks sometimes. Like, it's a job. I don't give a shit. Like, that whole bullshit about, do something you love, you'll never work a day in your life, I don't believe in that at all.
I kind of noticed that shit too recently. Like, you know, when, you know, cause we always talk about like, oh yeah, when we get our first design job, like everything will be hunky dory and that's all I want to do. Like, I want to nail that perfect job, and then you get it, and then you're there for a while, and it just becomes, it's part of your normal day now
for a couple,
you know,
months.
Like before, when you didn't have this job, like, yeah, you were like designing shit and like doing stuff, doing what you thought was cool shit to like, I don't know, enhance your portfolio or because you wanted to. But when you do that every day, it's just, it's your job now, you know. It loses that like golden halo.
The novelty of it wears off, and also like it gets you to the point where like you don't even, before, when you would have been designing or drawing or pursuing whatever art, like in your free time, it's kind of like you're burned out to the point that you don't even want to do that anymore. It's not even necessarily like the subject matter of what it is you're working on at work. It's like, I've been doing this shit all day and I don't want to come home and do it some more.
It'd turn off your brain.
Yeah. Like this thing where, you know, you're being forced to do something 8 to 12 hours a day sometimes, or maybe sometimes even more. I mean, that's going to wear on you, you know, it's going to affect your enjoyment of what you're doing. It sucks. You know, you don't always want to be staring at a screen. You don't always want to be in a fucking studio. Like, I want to get outside. I want to enrich myself. You know, there's more to life than all this shit. And I think that's something that gets lost a lot nowadays, especially in like the culture that we're living in now, where it's all social media driven. There's so many people out there that are pushing this, like, create all the time, never stop creating. It's like, well, go fuck yourself. Like, I got to do something else. Like, where are you getting inspiration from if all you're doing is drawing? You know what I mean? Like, I get inspiration from everywhere. It's like anything I'm doing, you know, whether it's out in nature. There was a significant portion of my life in my career where I did most of my best brainstorming, in my opinion, in the gym. Like, it wasn't like conscious. I was just put on some tunes and I'd like get after it, you know. Is pre-2020, pre-children and pre-pandemic, I was a fucking physical machine. Like, I was in the gym 4 days a week, like fucking just, that's where I did most of my brainstorming. most of my like favorite ideas from that period of time came out of that. And that has nothing to do with being creative. Like that's very manual. It's like, I'm just kind of zoning out and like listening to whatever I'm listening to. Sometimes I'm getting lost in the music. Like you can draw it from everywhere. And I'm not even saying you have to do something physical, like whether it's video games or movies or reading, like you can get inspiration everywhere. And I think that gets lost a lot now where it's like, I think you're made to feel useless or maybe less than as a creative if you embrace things like that. Like I feel like there's a lot of entities out there, a lot of personalities that kind of push this perspective that you've always got to be doing something. I don't agree with that. I think you got to be able to turn it off. I think the only way you're useful as a creative is if you're well rested and mentally sharp. And if you're not those things, if you're not taking time out for yourself to do things that you enjoy, like you're not going to be either one of those things.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of what I was going to try and like sum it up. So what you're saying kind of is like, as a creative, your creative gas tank, like is equally reflected on how much like chill or personal time or like recharge time, not just what everyone's saying today about the, yeah, just get after it, you know, run 50 miles until your legs fall off and then run 50 more, you know, in terms of creating shit.
Yeah. That gas tank, that metaphor, I guess is simile. Is that a simile? That's a simile. That's a great way to like sum it up. I think like you've got to fill up, you know, you got to step off to the side and fill up.
It's funny that you like brought up this whole section of like, you know, design culture nowadays, the design all the time bullshit. We just got done talking about freelancing and it's, you really don't get to like play that card of being able to take time to yourself unless you're doing shit for yourself in a way. Like if what you have to get through all the continue to design over and over and over again to get to the point where you feel comfortable enough to where you can take time for yourself. Like, because a lot of people that I follow on Instagram are like freelancers who've been doing it for years and they make a shit ton of money and they have the luxury to take weeks at a time off because they're fine. Like they made enough money at their last job so they can take 2 weeks off. It's almost like how movie studios will do, or movie and game studios will design and do production for months to a year and then you take like 2-3 months off. It's hard to get to that point, especially with how social media is so prevalent now, that there's so many people out there that claim that they're a designer and it's just someone who knows how to work Illustrator or Canva. And it's like those people like get in the way of people like us who actually have like the background and the experience in that field, but we charge like a reasonable, like if we do freelancing, if we have the time, we charge what we think we're worth. And Matt, you said that many times when I've talked to you about freelancing, is that you just won't do it because you don't have the time anymore. But at the same time, like you know your worth as a designer. Like you've been doing this for years. You know how much you're worth to somebody. And there's people out there that just know how to do a template and they're just doing it as like a side gig. So they'll charge like nothing
right
for somebody.
Yeah. I mean, freelancing, man, like I'm so far removed from that at this point in my life, like this stage of my life, just because I'm so busy in my day job that, like, I guess it's worth mentioning, like nowadays, like whereas at the place that we all worked, I guess I was a little more involved creatively. Now I'm a little bit more on the business side of things. I'm still like, don't get me wrong, I'm still pretty like balls deep in the creative process, I guess, in a way, but I'm just not directly involved anymore so much. Like I still design every once in a while, but for the most part, I'm strategizing or I'm determining trends and things like that. Putting together like lines and things like that. So it's a different way of looking at it. I don't know. It's opened my mind to a lot of things. I guess this this different side of the business, this different side of the creative industry. There's a lot of wasted time, I think, that goes into creative work, which definitely takes a toll on people, which is part of the reason I think that you need to stop working all the time. You got to take some time for yourself. Otherwise, you're going to end up burned out and useless. Like, if you're not, you know, I've been there. Like, if you're burned out, you're not producing good work. You're not into anything you're doing, which automatically means you're not producing anything good or anything worth showing. It's that old thing I used to always say. It's like, well, I mean, do I show somebody something good or do I show them something? You know what I mean? Like, how much time do I want to invest in this? Like, is the juice worth the squeeze? I think there's a lot of thought that needs to go into that. You've got to be able to protect yourself too as a creative, especially in freelance. Like, charge your fucking deposits. Charge half up front, man. Like, don't do the job unless you get that half payment up front. Like, if you're out there and you're listening to this as a freelance artist, charge 50% up front. That's my advice to you.
Yep. I second that one.
Don't start any work until you get that, because at least if they go silent on you or go dead, you at least got payment for what you did do. It wasn't just a total wash.
It immediately cuts out any like of the wishy-washiness. It's like, okay, you paid me half of it. Like, get your shit together and you're going to be on it. Not like,
and that's also an assurance to you as the creative that they're serious about what they're asking you to do. Cause there's a lot of people, and I know you guys have probably all seen it. They'll, you know, kind of jerk you around a little bit, you know, try to get you to do something for them free, or like show them an idea, like offer you quote unquote the opportunity, you know, get your work out there, quote unquote.
Oh, that's my least favorite line.
Send me the vectors so I can just check your work and make sure it's up to, you know, up to par.
My least favorite one was always like, I'll get you the exposure, or I'll recommend you as payment. I'm like, fuck that. No, give me money. I don't need the exposure if you just give me money. Like, I don't.
Yeah.
Fuck that.
Yeah, no, that's horseshit. Exposure is nothing. Exposure doesn't pay the bills. Exposure, especially nowadays, exposure doesn't do shit because you can't cut through the noise. Like, there's just so much shit out there nowadays. Like, by shit, I mean, like, I don't mean like bad shit. I mean, like, there's just so much creative content out there. Like, that's the word of the day, you know, content, 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 blah, 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 blah. So it's like, it's impossible almost at this point to cut through all that. So like, you just kind of have to focus on you.
And now with the inclusion of AI, like, it opens up an entire door to people that would never have considered themselves a creative. I saw, this is coming off like Akira Toriyama, the creator of Dragon Ball. I'm bringing this back up because I saw something on Threads that was like, someone was talking shit about people that were using AI generated images of like Goku as like a tribute, and he's like, this is detrimental to an artist. Like, how dare you use this as like a tribute? Like, this is just like a punch in his face. Like, how dare you? And it also makes me think, on the other hand, like, well, what if that person just doesn't know how to draw? Like, what if that person just can't, like...
Yeah, what if you just shit on this dude's drawing?
what do you want him to do? Draw a stick figure and like, you shit on in, that?
He just walks in and Gordon Ramsay's this dude's artwork that, like, he's been trying to, like...
But it's, like, the point is, like, it opens up the door for people that never could consider themselves a creative. People that can't draw, can't do what we do, but now they can, like, open AI up and or open Midjourney and all that stuff and just get art, and now they are part of the creative world now. Like, they also get in our way in some cases, and it's hard, like, it's very hard to get past that.
How deep do you guys want to get? Do you guys want to like pin your legs back like a Kroger chicken, get deep? Like, how deep are we in?
I've been waiting.
So I would just tell anybody, like,
give me deep.
Like, I mean, any creative. So this is gonna be really cliche. So I've got a 4-year-old now, right? I can't believe she's almost not quite 4, but she'll be 4 5 months from now or whatever.
Yeah, fuck you. Mine's almost 4 too.
Yeah. So the amount of time that has passed since her birth to now has seemed like an instant, right? The creative work at that point just doesn't seem super important anymore, which kind of goes back to the point that I was trying to make earlier. It's just, there's so much more to life than all of this, you know? Don't get me wrong. This can be a part of your life. It can be an important part of your life even, but it's not everything. So I'm saying this because I know people. I've heard from multiple people that I've talked to just over the years. It's just like their worth is tied to their creative work. I don't subscribe to that, and I don't feel like that applies to me. And I would hope I like evangelize that it shouldn't apply to any creative. Like, you're not your creative work. You know what I mean? Like, you're more than that. I would urge people to look at it as more of a job. I think there's a little bit of a sickness, I guess, in the creative industry these days, where it has a tendency, I guess, to become all consuming for multiple different reasons. Like, you can blame that on late stage capitalism, like, whatever, you know, we always got to be growing, and to grow, we have to produce more, you know, whatever the fuck it may be. And I guess that probably goes for more than just creative work. So it's probably more of a general comment, but I'm just saying all this right now, more of a general commentary, I guess. But I would just say, like, don't get so wrapped up in this crazy ass weird industry. Like, be a part of it, be a positive part of it even. Just don't be toxic. I feel like it's kind of crossed over into that, like, toxic line a lot, especially when it comes to, like, social media. It kind of goes back to what I was saying earlier. Just it's always like people are always trying to tell you to, like, create. Like, if you're not creating, you're never not working. I think that's a well-known studios slogan. I don't know what that means exactly, but I mean, the obvious answer to that is I'm like, fuck that. Like, I couldn't be further from that, you know? Like, there's just so much more going on out here. I mean, just look the fuck around you, you know? Don't spend all your time.
Pornhub is gone, people. Pornhub is gone in Texas. There's more shit happening.
Yeah, I just lost people my entire fucking spank bank in a matter of like 24 hours.
Oh, man.
We're getting back to analog.
People start going outside again, you know, and like taking walks. Like, you do this. If you did this nationwide, watch the obesity rate just like plummet. You know, people like don't know what to do. They just have to run to get their fucking pent up aggression out.
It's like that Family Guy episode where Quagmire discovers like porn on the internet for the first time. And he's like missing for days, and then finally he leaves his house, and his entire right arm is just jacked. His left arm is just jacked. It's like, it's gonna be people like that. Like, they finally have to come outside, and they're just gonna have one arm that's just fucking massive.
Yeah,
when it comes back. Yeah,
as a fucking creative, just draw your own shit. Jerk off to that.
Yeah, jerk off to that.
There you go.
Yeah, draw your own tits.
Well, see, is this ties in perfectly, because like we were talking about AI, you know, we're talking about this and drawing our own shit and stuff. Like, I do use AI all the time now, because like, I don't know if you guys notice, and it kind of goes back to the gas tank thing too. Like, when you feel like, when you feel the clock ticking behind you of like, oh, well, this needs to get done, I need to like get this out. Like, the shit I'm drawing like doesn't turn out good, you know, like you can't get into that like zone and zen mode. And so it fits perfectly. If I'm trying to draw my own shit, I want that shit to be done quick, so it's not going to be good, so it won't work for me. But in all seriousness, yeah, so like that creative time off and everything, and, you know, recharging your gas tank and stuff so you can actually like make cool shit and not feel that like pressure breathing on your neck. Because I don't think you can really be creative when you have like all that shit on you, you know?
No, not at all. Like, that's I will say, as far as, I guess, my current day job, it might sound like I'm like, maybe it sounds like I'm bitching about that. I'm really not. I work with a bunch of really great people, so this is not an indictment on the group of people I work with now or anything at all. I work with a bunch of other creatives, like both like below and above me in rank. And it's really nice having a support system like that, because they all understand this. It's not always the case for creatives. Like, the person above you may not, you know, they may be just like a suit. You know what I'm saying? They don't get it. they think you just draw pictures all day. Oh yeah, you're having fun. You're fucking playing all day. You know what I mean? Like that might be the perception that they have. That's not it.
When it's going, right? When it's going well, it feels like that. But when you're like, fuck, I don't know. It's fucking three letters. How am I going to stretch this to be completely above this illustration? You know, when it's not working, it's not fun for sure.
Well, it's even like, even beyond you're working on an actual design, just trying to concept something with a difficult customer, say. I mean, there's drains on your creative energy coming from every direction. It's the people above you. It's the customer, or the person asking you for the work. In my case, I work with a lot of licensors, so like large studios and things like that. They can be a beating, you know, as far as their feedback goes. Just because it's like sometimes they're really restrictive and like you want to do something really cool that you know is going to work, but they have it in a little box. They're not a creative. You're working with a licensing person. Like they're just looking to make, like they've got a checklist next to them. They're like, does it meet these qualifications? Does it not meet these qualifications? You know what I mean? And that's all they're really looking at. They're not looking at the concept. They're not looking at like, will this work in the real world? They're just trying to, you know, they're working off a checklist. That can be really frustrating, and especially as a creative. So it's important not to get dragged down by that. And the way that you do that, I think, is like disconnecting from this bullshit sometimes, because let's just be real about it. It's a lot of bullshit. Like we put up with a lot of bullshit as creatives.
Yeah. I think that's something that people don't really see all that much, or at least like knowing the five of us, or like the four of y'all, like we're all kind of the same, where it's like we take our beatings and kind of just, you know, take it home. Like we don't do a whole lot of bitching like out in the open. We don't show our emotions when something's not going like the right way, or like clients are getting to us or whatever have you. It's like we take our hits and we go home, and then we got to find the strength to like recharge ourselves and get back into it. And whether like those beatings continue on to the next day is, you know, it can be fucking tough to do this for 40 hours a week. And I just don't think like people really understand, like you said, Matt, like some people just look at us and we're like, oh, you're just drawing pictures. Like, oh, you must have a really fun job because you get to work with these brands. You get to do this. And it's like, yeah, I do. And it's great in a lot of cases, but
no, it's still a job.
I mean, it could be fucking hard.
Yeah, it's still a fucking job. Like it sucks some days.
Yeah.
Some days it's fun. Some days it sucks. That's just kind of the way it goes. But especially with creative work, because you have a tendency to end up working with people who aren't in, you know, this world, who maybe don't, their brains don't work this way. That's when I find it's most difficult, I guess. It's just, and don't get me wrong, in my younger years, I definitely carried the shit home with me and lived it. You know what I mean? And it sucked. When I look back at that, I'm like, fuck, like, what was I doing? Like I was miserable. Like it just can be really taxing sometimes. That's not really like an indictment on anybody or anything in particular. I think it's just the nature of this this industry. I would like to see more open-mindedness, I guess, when it comes to, and it'll never happen just because of the world we live in, right? Which sucks, but I guess you just kind of have to fight for it yourself. You have to just kind of like set your boundaries, which is tough to do, especially when you're younger, because you're trying to make your way, right? I have the luxury of having done that already, I guess, to an extent at this point anyway. I've got a portfolio of work that kind of like proves to other people like, hey, like I know what the fuck I'm doing. So it took, you know, a shit ton of time to build that, but I'm there now. So it's cool being able to have that. I guess that cool is the wrong word. I guess it's nice having that leverage now, because like I know, you know, like I know what I'm doing. Like you don't know what I'm doing. I don't give a shit what you think about what I'm doing. If I could impart any wisdom, if nobody gets anything else out of this, like I would say this is something that goes all the way back to the Art Institute. So I had an instructor there. It was my favorite instructor. He told me, you can pick three of these things, fast, quick, good. Or I'm sorry, you can pick two of these three things, fast, quick, or good. That's it, only two. And if I don't know. I feel like that's very, it's very apt. It's accurate too. Like if you want it cheap and good, it's not going to be fast. If you want it fast and good, it ain't going to be cheap. And I think you need to, as a freelancer, especially, I guess delving back into freelancers, I think you really need to keep that in mind for yourself. Now there's the whole thing, you know, salary wise or whatever, but you know, that kind of is what it is. Like, especially like if you're in a corporate setting, like I guess I kind of am now, it's a little bit easier to handle that, I guess. It seems like people are a little more understanding in those settings. Whereas, you know, if you're working for a smaller boutique or something, it might be a little wilder. I don't think there's anything wrong with being young, and obviously you got to get your start somewhere, and that's usually where you start in these smaller boutiques. Like that one I mentioned earlier, that contract job, that place was nuts, but it was great experience. And I also never really like, I never really had anything too traumatic at that job either. It was just kind of like a slap to the face, because it was like the first thing I did out of school, you know. It was like, whoa, this is the first real world creative gig I've got. And another thing that guy, that same instructor told me was like, I don't give a shit what your opinion is. So like when you send creative work, do not ever, and I don't do this, and I tell other people not to do this, do not ever ask, what do you think? When you send a piece out to a customer, when you send a piece out to a customer, I had a professor that used to say that. Say, here it is. That's it. Don't fucking ask them their opinion, because you don't fucking care, because you know what you're doing. Like, they hired you for your expertise. Like, don't ask. You're just inviting critiques at that point. Yeah. Like it's and most of the time, let's be honest, the critiques are going to be bullshit. You're not going to agree with them.
Could you imagine that? Say you're freelancing and you got to the point and like you send in your work and or you're like, no, you have to pay me or something. And then they're like, oh, no, wait, I thought we're doing. You're like, no revisions. This is it. This is what you got. You pay for it, you know, just pay me now and then you'll get this it. You get.
So here's the caveat there. As a freelancer, you should always like build in like a certain amount of revisions, right? Whether it's two or three. I do three. I give people three rounds of revisions up to an hour a piece. If we go beyond that, or if it's something more crazy, then like we've got to revisit pricing, because I'm not just going to work for free. Like if you told me one thing, you blessed a sketch, I did it, and then you're not happy with it, like I'm not going to work for free to make it right. Like I did, like we were on the same page, right? I kind of lost. I was rambling. I lost track of what I was saying. Remind me.
That just gave me flashbacks to when like Matt's over by my computer and like I'm asking him a question and then he just goes, wait, so what was I showing you how to do? You know?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Building in revisions. Yeah. Build revisions, like a set amount of like revisions into your pricing. But when you send your work, all I'm saying is don't invite critique. Just send it and be like, hey, here it is. Like don't ask them what they think. Don't ask them if this is what they had in mind. Don't do anything like that. Just be very like short to the point. Here it is. Like, this is it.
You're welcome.
Yes.
Yeah. I was going to say my next response, like I'm going to send my next freelancing. I'm going to send it. I'm just going to be like,
yeah,
this is what you wanted.
This is the drug you're looking for. You know,
I mean, if you ask somebody like, what do you think? They're going to tell you what they think. And you're just inviting pain at that point. You know what I mean? Like potentially inviting pain, like maybe not always,
That's true. Like,
you know, in a lot of cases you are. I've been there.
A lot of times in those situations, it almost feels like, when you do that, like they'll critique just for the sake of having something.
Exactly.
Just so they can have some kind of input.
No, that's exactly what it is. Like, you know, don't invite it. I mean, you know, they hired you for a reason. They've seen your work. They like what you're doing. So act like it. You know what I mean? Like don't act like some wet behind the ears greenhorn, you know, like own it. Whip your dick out.
Yep. Even if you are a new designer, like you went to school, you learned everything, or even if you didn't go to school and this is what you wanted to do, I mean, you know more than that person right off the bat. So act like it. Act like you know more than that person, because you do. I mean, the only way you're not is if you're working with another designer that you consider a mentor. And then at that point, you know, whatever feedback they do give you, soak it in, because it's going to be very beneficial to you later.
Pull your balls out. Take a look at it. take a look at these.
Let me see them. Let me see them.
On cam?
Matt's already feeling the right no porn hub. He's like, just someone show me their balls, all right?
just please.
Take your ball out, draw a dot on it. It'll make it look like a titty.
Yeah, put some fucking tits in it. I see that Avengers poster behind you, Chris. I don't see any titties in that.
I'm doing a lot of question asking. Do y'all have any questions y'all wanted to ask Matt?
In just passing of you asking him other questions.
And him just downloading his story to us, mm-hmm. I think, you know, it did. Like, I had questions about, like, you know, managing stress in, like, your design job and stuff. And, like, you know, how you... And it's just, like you said, kind of, like, keeping your batteries recharged. Don't take it home with you. It is a job. Like, treat it like, you know... Plumbers not taking the block drain home with them. You know, they do the work, they get it done, they do the best job they possibly can. And then when they go home, they shower and they're not plumbing anymore. You know,
it's exactly. Just, and you know, I'm not saying don't put in any extra work where you have to. I'm not saying that at all. But what I am saying is work smarter, not harder. I mean, there are circumstances that are always going to be out of your control. Control what you can control. So like, if you know you've got a project, you know, build yourself enough time to do it. That's hard to do in some settings, obviously. Like I was saying, you know, it kind of depends on who's above you, like telling you what to do. Are they understanding? I am a big advocate for, you know, setting your own boundaries as a creative, because I mean, everybody else does. Why shouldn't you have your own? You know what I mean? Like, nobody else can do what you guys can do. Set your computer in front of like an accountant, see how far they get. You know what I mean? Like, tell them tell them to make an illustration of a fucking cock and balls. Tell them to put it together in a head. Tell them to put together anything. They can't do it. You know what I mean?
Put some titties in it. Just see if you can do that.
Type them out a prompt like you were typing into Midjourney. See what happens.
Well, I think a lot of that like always be designing mentality somehow creeps into our brain, because it always goes back to social media at this point, where it's like we follow all these like well-established designers that have been doing it for years, and it feels like that they're constantly designing. So like, we're looking up to them of being like, I want to be as successful as that person, so I need to be like as designing as much as that person. I need to have an online store of merch with my fucking name on it to be as successful as that person. And like, all like, even now, I mean, I've been doing it for, I guess, 7 years out of college. And I still have moments where I'm like, I don't necessarily feel like I'm a successful designer, because I don't have like my own website with my own shit and my own fonts that I do. I don't do anything at home. But I think it's just because I just don't want to burn myself out on it. Like, those people have been doing it for years, and that is their career.
See, that's a little, you know, that is a different situation, because you're like, you're making your own schedule at that point. You know what I mean? Like, if you're somebody like that. Now, if you're working like a corporate job, say like I am, I get home, maybe like I've mentioned to you guys, I have a few designers over in the Philippines that I work with. They're like a regular part of my team, so I communicate with them regularly. Maybe I'll answer a couple of questions from them, you know, between like 6 and 7 p.m. But for the most part, I come home, and as soon as I step through the threshold of my fucking doorway, I'm done. I'm not opening a computer for the rest of the night. Like, this is the time that I'm like refilling my gas tank, you know? Like, I'm doing whatever I want to do right now. I'm going to hang out with my daughter. Living. Yeah, I'm going to hang out with my daughter. I'm going to hit the gym, or I'm going to, you know, watch a fucking movie, or like, I'm a movie buff, you know,
put on
like
a horror movie,
that kind of shit. So I think it's important to find time for that, both for your sanity. And also, I mean, if it's that age old thing, like if you do something like a couple times, people are just going to fucking expect it out of you at that point, whether it's fair or not. So don't do it. Don't start it. You know what I mean?
Don't even give them the chance.
No. Yeah. Like, you got to set your boundaries early. That's important, I think. It's something that I learned, like, I guess a long time ago, but it took a while to get there, Because, you know, it's especially when you're young, you got a lot of energy. You want to point, you want to prove yourself, especially in this weird thing, this weird design thing that we all do, or creative thing that we all do. Like, it's, you're eager to prove yourself. And I think sometimes, I don't know, at least in my case, you probably go overboard. You probably neglect other things that you wish, like, you're eventually, and this is another thing, put your fucking wetsuits on again, because we're going to get deep, because you're going to regret, you know, you're going to regret not doing other things, you know, if you're just sitting around fucking designing or creating or drawing all day for the most part, you know, you've got people and other things that, like, you should definitely pay attention to. It all, it's all very fleeting is what I'm saying. And I say that as somebody who's like, I guess, especially over the last few years, I think probably most everybody's pretty aware of it at this point. It's been a rough few years, but yeah, things are fleeting. Things change really quickly. Time flies by so fucking fast, you guys. Like, if in a lot of ways, it still feels like I'm walking out of the Art Institute that one day that I graduated and go and get shit faced with my instructors. Like, I still remember that night, like, vividly. Like, it's crazy. And it's shit, you know, it was 2009. So, shit, you know, it's 2024 now. I started at that fucking place in 2006. So 18 years ago. That's a long time. That is a long fucking time. It's, it goes by fast is all I'm saying. So don't waste your time on, I guess, trying to prove yourself is what I'm saying. Cause like, you are Kenneth. Is that the thing that people say now?
Oh my God.
Are you Kenneth?
Perfect.
Matt, I don't know if I told you, but when I saw that shit in theaters, like, Kenneth is, and I've said this to you guys, I know, and I'm sure you're sick of hearing it, but I saw that and, like, just saw my last name, but with an N in the middle of it, because that's literally, like, that's my last name, yeah, you is. Know? Yeah. And then Ida saw it, too, and she goes, like, oh, my gosh, like, we should get some. And I'm like, no, absolutely not.
No.
It's close Kenneth.
It's close Kenneth.
It's close Kenneth.
Yeah, I don't know. That's, I guess that's the thing that I'd like to say to, like, every like, you guys and, like, every other creative out there that ends up listening to this thing. Just, like, fucking do you, you know? Like, you don't have to fucking be Andy Warhol, you know? Like, you're not gonna be Andy Warhol. Let's be real. Like, the days of that kind of shit, famous artists, like, it's different now. Like, there's so many, it's the white noise thing, man. Like, just take a scroll through Instagram and look at how much talent is fucking out there. You know what I mean? Don't comparison is the thief of joy. That's very true. Like, especially here. So I'm not saying don't look at other people's work, because you should, because there's some really good shit out there, you know, that I find inspiration in constantly. I'm inspired by so many creatives, but, it's easy to fall into, like, I'm not this good, or I'm not doing enough. I think you need to be careful about falling into that, I guess, is what I'm saying, because it's easy to do. I've done it a lot myself. So, you know, I just have the luxury of being able to look back at that and be like, what the fuck was I thinking? Like, you know, I could have gotten here, like, in a number of different ways. I just, you know, I didn't always choose the easiest one. You know, maybe I neglected things that I, like, you know, looking back, like, as somebody in the position that I'm in now, been doing it for this long, looking back, there are definitely things that I regret, like, not spending more time doing, maybe abandoning, because I was trying to, you know, I was quote unquote hustling, because that's what everybody told me I had to do. You know what I mean? And I feel like, I mean, if you're being thoughtful about it and really putting the effort behind it, being true to yourself, I think you're going to make it anyway. You know, it's not for everybody. It's like I was saying earlier, there's a couple of people that did not graduate when I graduated. Like, somebody should have stepped in that situation. So it's not for everybody. But, like, if you're here now and you're in the industry and you're making it happen, like, you've got something going on. You know what I mean? If you made it through school, for the most part, unless you went to the Art Institute, you proved yourself there. You know, like, you made it through all that.
I feel fucking inspired.
Profound. I feel inspired to call in sick tomorrow.
I feel inspired to send a really spicy email to someone.
Make you guys feel especially inspired.
I might shrivel up after that. I don't want to see that. Well, that was good. I think that's we got a good amount of information, more than probably any of us expected, and it was all good.
I feel like I rambled way too much.
Hell no. Like I said.
Well, I mean, like our
it was rambling, but it was better than Christmas party rambling.
No, I mean, this is like the only like solid advice like that we've gotten. Normally we're just like fucking around and like calling each other stupid and shit like that, you know, just bitching about stupid shit and stuff. But it's good to.
Did I fuck up the flow of the fucking show?
I don't think we're going to air it, actually. Chris, like, you know.
Already deleted my recording. Yeah.
This can be the lost episode.
Yeah.
We got a couple of those.
I feel like my dick joke quota was there.
Yeah, that was solid. Yeah.
I even exceeded it, I'm pretty sure. I brought up dicks a lot.
More than anyone would ever expect. I'm pretty sure people come here for like solid information and then they get our beginning conversations and they immediately turn us off.
Yeah, I made a lot of dick jokes. I'm sorry, everybody. I just think they're really funny.
Matt, do you want to plug anything? Do you give a shit?
No.
And that's the lesson for the day. Yeah. Don't give
He's
a
not
shit.
Real. Yeah. As always, thank you for listening. Subscribe, rate, review. All right.
All right.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye. Right.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.